Time now for Little Known Canadian Facts, and today Victor Narenberg introduces us to the prolific inventor who forever changed the way the world listened to music.
In the working-class neighborhood of Montreal known as Saint-Henri, there stands at the end of Lacasse Street a nondescript multi-story brick building built at the turn of the 20th century. It would house the Berliner Gramophone Company.
Always in the way, sung by Mr. Bob Price for the Berliner Gramophone Company of Canada Limited.
Emil Berliner, a German immigrant, had moved his company to Montreal from the United States, where the self-taught tinkerer invented the gramophone to play the latest in sound recording technology, the 78 RPM disc, which, incidentally, he also invented. Thomas Edison gets credit for the cylinder and the phonograph that played it, but it was Emil Berliner who developed the more durable, easy-to-store record. It could hold 4 minutes of sound, twice the capacity of Edison's cylinder. With his new flat disc, Berliner launched the era of mass-marketed recorded music. This recording by Robert Price was made in 1904 in rented quarters at the Bell Telephone Company in Montreal, where Mr. Berliner's friend, Alexander Graham Bell, was busy expanding his empire. An empire that might well have stalled had Emil Berliner not invented the microphone that Bell needed for his new device. With the $100,000 Berliner received for the rights to that microphone, he financed his new Saint-Henri facility, where he would go on to record talent of all sorts and stripes. It's also where he manufactured the records and the gramophones the public needed to listen to them. The building today houses the Emil Berliner Museum, where some of his early gramophone models and other artifacts of the pioneering days of the recording industry are on display. Art historian, industrial archaeologist, and architect Jean Bellil is the museum's board chairman. He says Berliner's arrival in Montreal was not only a catalyst for the burgeoning recorded music industry, it was also an unexpected boon for French-Canadian performers.
At that time, he started to press francophone record using Quebec artists. And that was something totally unknown at that time. The first record done by a Quebec artist in French for the Berliner Gramophone was La Marseillaise.
Allons enfants de la patrie, le jour de gloire est arrivé.
French, yes, but hardly Canadian. So what brought this man who co-founded Deutsche Grammophon, the prestigious German classical record label, to Montreal? After all, when he left Germany in 1870, it wasn't for Canada, it was for Washington, D.C. Jean Bellil.
Berliner was perhaps a good inventor, but I'm not convinced he was a good businessman. And I think he got many lawsuits in the United States. And so big that he was obliged to close his operation in the United States and to sell all his assets to Edward Johnson. So he decided to move to Montreal because it's another country, it's another set of law, and there was francophone. And for him, it was very good because he said, well, it's a new market. Nobody is touching this market. And he came to Montreal with that idea. It's the one of the main reasons he didn't go to Toronto. Columbia went to Toronto, but he went to Montreal because he was trying to capture the French market, and it worked.
The Berliner Gramophone Company was not just recording previously undiscovered Quebec artists. His new studio was also attracting black musicians who could not get inside an American recording studio. Their ongoing connection to the city helped turn Montreal into a jazz mecca, spawning countless nightclubs and a wide assortment of other enterprises catering to the needs and desires of nocturnal music lovers. But it was an artist in another medium entirely, on the other side of the Atlantic, who would help make the Berliner Grammophon Company and its successors instantly recognizable brands.
A painter named Francis Barrow, an English painter, did a painting showing the dog of his brother, Nipper, listening to a phonograph, an Edison phonograph. According to the history, Barrow went to the agent of Edison in London with the painting and trying to sell the painting to the agent, saying that it could be useful for you. And the people of Edison say, well, there is no future in this image. It's not important. It's not interesting. So Barrow was furious. He came back. He went to an agent of the EMI, Berliner Grammophon, and he borrowed a gramophone. And he painted the gramophone over the phonograph. And after that, he went to the agent and he asked him if they were interested by the painting. And they say, yes, for sure. And this image was used all over the world for the Berliner Grammophon.
That trademark, Nipper the dog, head cocked slightly to the left, peering into the horn and listening intently to his master's voice, passed eventually from Berliner Grammophon to the Victor Talking Machine Company and then to RCA Victor. Today, the trademark is owned by General Electric. Emil Berliner, who emigrated to the U.S. at the age of 19 to work as a store clerk, never settled in Canada. He commuted to Montreal from his Washington home, as business demanded. But his U.S.-born son, Herbert, did stay there to start the Compo Company in 1919. It manufactured records under license for many of the emerging labels of the day, eventually morphing into American Decca, MCA, and Universal Music. As for Emil, he was, without doubt, a man ahead of his time, and nothing exemplified that better, perhaps, than the bursaries he underwrote for women who wanted to study science and engineering. It's not clear why his philanthropic bent bent in that direction. Could it be his muse was Montreal soprano and gramophone recording artist Pauline Donalda? Emil Berliner, son of Samuel, a Hanover merchant and Talmudic scholar, and Sarah, an amateur musician, died in 1929 at the age of 78. Appropriate, I suppose, for the inventor of the 78. I'm Victor Nirenberg with Little Known Canadian Facts.
And if you'd like to learn more about the Berliner Museum here in Montreal or would like to listen to some early Canadian recordings, we'll post links on our website and you'll find us at www.rcinet.ca/English.